In the sticky stillness of a summer night, a tiny troubadour tunes up in the trees. This pale, unassuming performer doesn't just chirp, it engineers, improvises, and even has custom acoustics. This backyard busker sings its love song using some unorthodox methods. But if you've ever lived in a big family, you know you have to find a way to make yourself heard like the thermometer cricket here in life, death, and taxonomy.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and Taxonomy. It's your 30 minutes of interesting animal information. I already have the yips. I'm Joe.
And I'm Yips. I'm Carlos.
Thank you to Cassie for the creation of our theme song. To hear more of Cassie's music, please search Cassie Michelle on YouTube or Spotify.
And a very special thank you to our patrons. Thank you so much for your support. It's greatly appreciated. Thanks for helping us keep the lights on. If you'd like to donate, just visit patreon.com/LDTaxonomy or click on donate on our website.
And today we're talking about a bug that is a scientific instrument, apparently, but more on that later.
And a musical one.
Mayonnaise is not an instrument.
It is if you like get it together and like stick your thumb into it. It can make kind of like a... an inappropriate sound. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How can a sound be inappropriate? It's our thoughts that have become inappropriate.
Lots of sound. When you give sound to your inappropriate thoughts, the sounds become inappropriate. But yeah, what are we talking about?
We're talking about the thermometer critic. Wow. Thermometer cricket.
The thermometer critic.
That's thermometer critic is what I said.
Don't you mean a thermometer critic? Tomato meter?
Tomatoes. Thermometer cricket.
Yes, it is also known as the snowy tree cricket or the temperature cricket. We're going to call it here the leaf blower and the megaphone maestro. Thermometer cricket's pretty good.
It's very unique. Usually animals aren't named after inanimate objects. Except for the hammerhead shark.
True. I know there are exceptions.
Or the stick bug.
Their stick bug. Do you have any science?
I got so much science, it's silly.
Silly science.
Silly science. Tricks are for kids. Science rules. One second. I forgot to... Actually, I lied. Now I have science. The kingdom, you know it. You love it. You're in it. Is Animalia. The phylum is Arthropoda. Clade. Pancrustaceae? Is that a soft C?
I don't know, but it sounds like something you need to have an ultrasound on.
I was thinking it sounds like a good way to prepare a pizza. Pancrusted pizza.
I think of crusty pancreas.
Oh, no.
It's like, okay, yeah. You need an MRI.
The class is Insecta. The order is Orthoptera. The suborder is Ensifera. Family is Oecanthidae? I feel like that's a hard C for some reason.
Oh, yeah, that would be. I have the family as Gryllidae.
Oh, wait a minute. Maybe I have...
Oh, no. Yeah.
The genus is Oecanthus. Species is Oecanthus fultoni.
Yeah. Oecanthus.
Yeah.
Oecanthus.
Oecanthus. It could be like... isn't there like... What's a bone doctor?
An orthopedic surgeon?
Yes. Ortho. Okay. What's the... I know... is there a field of medicine that starts with an OE?
Not OE. There's obstetrics. Oedipus complex. And yeah, I guess there's Oedipus.
So Oedipus is just an E sound.
So do we just call this...
Acanthus?
Acanthus, yeah. If it goes by the... if it's Oedipin... which you shouldn't be.
You should not be.
Well,
you know, Oedipus did not... I don't think Oedipus had an Oedipus complex. Like, it was an accident.
Yeah, that's the whole... yeah.
But an Oedipus, if you have one, it's not... it's not a literature class.
Yeah,
podcast.
What did Freud have to say about Oedipus? I've never looked into that.
Probably too much and not accurate enough.
Well, if he thought that others had an Oedipus complex. Anyway. Since we're in the business of naming things, it's time for mine and the listener's favorite part of the show, Nitty Gritty Nomenclature, the part of the show where I ask you, Joe, a question, and that is, what is the English translation for the binomial nomenclature, which in this case is Acanthus Fultoni? You know, if you go to the play awards, and you can get half a Tony, or you can get a full Tony.
Yeah. Yeah,
are those for awards. Plays?
It's for plays, yeah.
Yeah.
Musicals. The theater. If you want to be.
For plays, yeah. Theater awards. It's all the same. But yeah, what does Acanthus Fultoni mean? Does it mean A, Fulton's flower dweller? B, spotted tree cricket? C, egg-headed crack? Or D, pale garden bones.
I like egg-headed crack. Final answer.
It's the best kind. That's incorrect. The answer is Fulton's flower dweller.
I was thinking you were breaking down Fulton even more. The Fulton are stars.
The Fulton. yeah, so oek is Greek. It comes from the Greek oiko, apparently. And is
like a Greek yogurt.
Yeah, it's delicious Greek yogurt with no added sugars.
they're not a sponsor, but they can be a fun sponsor to have.
I'd sponsor oikos. Oiko means home or dwelling. And then Anthus is flower, which is, I guess, also where the term chrysanthemum comes from. Christ's flower. And then Fulton is the guy who found it. It's Fulton's flower dweller.
Well, now I know. Do you want to know what it looks like?
I do.
This is a cricket.
I knew it.
It's a green cricket. You know it. You love it. You hear it. It's a green cricket. They have a pale whitish or light green color. The snowy name comes from the fact that they've got a kind of a pale green. They don't like the snow.
As snow as want to be.
Yeah, pale green. It's snowy. It's not snowish. It's not completely snow. It doesn't live in the snow. Doesn't need to blend in with the snow. It's just kind of... it's, if you're thinking about a green, which kind of green is it? It's a snowy-ish green. You know?
That's a little lighter. A little wider. That's the Home Depot swatch. Snowy green.
Yeah, exactly. And they have slender bodies with long antenna. Typical of tree crickets. It's a tree cricket. It's got those big, long legs. Big oval-shaped wings tucked back there. It's like a locust if it would look friendlier.
Yeah. This is the thing that accompanies Mulan on her journey.
It looks slightly more like a grasshopper than like the kind of crickets you give you like lizards as food.
Those are the thick brown ones.
Mm-hmm. This is the wings are bigger on this one. It's that purple thing from Mulan. It's Jiminy Cricket. It's a cricket. It's not purple though. When I was a kid, I really loved the design of the cricket in Mulan. Just
really?
like a cool guy.
I really liked the cricket. I admit I did not. I've never really thought that hard about the cricket in Mulan.
I think it's kind of a character overshadowed by bigger personalities
in the movie.
Honestly, I typed in cricket in Mulan, and the top search results are mostly Mushu. And him being like him overshadowing, like you said.
But then everyone got mad because Mushu's not in the remake. So anyway,
yeah, the Disney live action. There's no cartoon dragon in this. The heck?
I didn't see it.
Like, what if this wasn't fun? Let's take out Eddie Murphy.
I thought that was the plan with all of the live-action remakes. What if this wasn't fun?
What if this wasn't fun? What if the lions and the Lion King didn't make facial expressions at all? What if there was no acting?
What if this wasn't fun anymore? What if we just took our ball and went home?
Yeah. Give us money, please. You want to know how big they are? We already talked. You want to hear the measure up segment? It's beloved.
By me.
Welcome to the beloved measure up segment, the official listeners part of the show, the part of the show when we present the animal's size and dimensions in relatable terms through a quiz that's fun for the entire family. It's also part of the show that's introduced by you when you send in audio of yourself saying, singing, or chittering. Or, yeah, chittering, right? That's what you would do as a...
You probably chirp.
Chirping. The words measure up into ldtaxonomy@gmail.com. We don't have a new measure up intro, but that means we get to hear from an animal, and Carlos has to guess who it is.
I don't think we've done a cricket before, so I think you have a few options to choose from.
Mm-hmm. Without further ado, the listeners part of the show.
And only fools do things the foolish way, which is the wrong way, right? Anyway, let's see. Where was I? Anyone can be a fool and do things which are wrong. But fools find out when it's too late that they don't live so long.
Who is that?
I mean, it sounds like Jiminy Cricket. Kinda.
Are you locking that in?
I've only seen the cricket on the hearth once, and
I don't know what that is.
It's like a Rankin Bass, Christmas movie. So yeah, Jiminy Cricket. Final answer.
Jiminy Cricket is correct, but it's not from Pinocchio.
Yeah, I know. I don't remember that from the movie.
It's the theme song. It's I'm No Fool. It's the theme song for a series of educational animated shorts for the Mickey Mouse Club in 1955.
I thought you were going to play like his Fallout 3 song. When you wish upon a star.
No, you would have known immediately. But that is a great song. That is a great scene. Man, did that ever glamorize sleep to a child?
I think
that scene is the coziest scene of all time.
It is, but also the way that Figaro looks at that cake glamorized cake for me.
And then you watched Matilda and the glamorization of cake was destroyed.
I don't think I've seen Matilda all the way through in one go. Wow. That's the That and Forrest Gump are movies that I've seen in their entirety. At if you put it all together, all of my different watchings.
Well, that's not how you watch a movie.
No, it's not.
Although
it's
Forrest Gump, it kind of kind of works. It's a series of vignettes.
It's an anthology.
Yeah, kind of. It all goes to it in one direction, though. Let's talk about their length. And a length of an adult thermometer cricket, 15 to 18 millimeters, or 0.6 to 0.7 inches. Fenway Park, home of the Boston Red Sox, has the farthest distance from home plate to the outfield wall in Major League Baseball. Despite this, it's not among the least home run friendly parks in the MLB. Where the Pittsburgh Pirates play, PNC Park, is the least home friendly, at least in 2025, allowing only 116 homers. Can you guess, before over the true or false, can you guess what the most hitter friendly park is? Based on science and your knowledge of major U.S. American cities. I mean, American major cities.
I know the names of no.
You only need to know the name of a city and where it is geographically and why that might
happen. Barclay, that's a one, right?
Barclay Stadium?
Or is that for basketball? I am in massive uncharted territory here. For me, at least. It's not
Barclays sure Center is a multi-purpose indoor arena, so yes, okay, basketball. Indoors. Brooklyn Nets. No.
Fenway does ring a bell. I've heard that one before.
No, say the name of a city. Think scientifically. What would make a ball sail through the air in a specific U.S. city? Why would it sail
a lack
through
of
air?
Humidity?
The yes. Wind?
The windy city, Chicago.
Thinness of air? No, not Chicago.
Oh.
Denver? The Mile High City? Where the air is thin and the balls sail far? Is the considered to be the most hitter-friendly park. Also because the outfield in that park has the largest square footage. So not only do balls sail farther, it's harder for the outfielders to get to them because there's so much space to cover.
Those poor, unfortunate souls.
But, true or false, Fenway's home plate is 7,112 crickets away from the back wall in right center.
7,112?
Mm-hmm.
I need to do math.
We're talking almost half it, like a little over half an inch.
So I'm looking at maybe about 360 feet. That seems like a reasonable distance. About a football field. And change. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one. True.
True?
Mm-hmm.
Correct answer is true. 420 feet deep, Fenway is.
420 feet. I also think that in terms of balls sailing through the air, that Chicago was the most reasonable choice. Because it's so windy.
I don't understand why Fenway isn't the hardest place. Because it is it's really long out to center field, but that's the place with the green monster, the big green wall in, like, prime hitting territory that goes up, and if you hit it, it's a ground rule double. I'm pretty sure. I don't know. That seems How is it not the hardest?
You've said a lot of things that. that don't mean anything to me.
You don't know what the Green Monster is? Have you never been to Boston?
Is the Green Monster
I
not
went to
one
Boston
of the
in seventh grade and we toured Fenway and they told us about the Green Monster.
Does he not play on stage with Chuck E. Cheese, Charles Entertainment
not at
Cheese?
All. The Green Monster is a wall. He is a wall.
Is it a wailing wall?
Some people wail if they get a grand rule double when they could have had another park gotten a homer, yeah. Let's talk about their egg sizes. 3 millimeters or 0.1 inches. After chickens, can you guess what the most eaten duck egg is in America? It's duck eggs.
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say ducks.
Yeah, it's ducks.
It's not
I
robins.
Thought for a second, I've never eaten a duck egg. I thought maybe it could be quails, but no, it's ducks. Obviously, it's ducks. People keep ducks. Apparently, they're more efficient than chickens to keep. But
yeah. I've eaten duck, but I've never had a duck
egg. Me too. Isn't that crazy? I've eaten a duck, but I've never had eggs from a duck.
We just, the Americans just haven't decided that it's something we want. It's like the...
Well, it's we want them second most.
I mean, they're not at Walmart. So if it's not at Walmart, it doesn't exist.
Yeah, true. I haven't been to Walmart in maybe 8 years. 10 seems too much. But 8...
Oh, they just opened up a Walmart so close to us, and it's like it's like a deep
whatever
breath.
It takes to not have to go into a Walmart.
Oh,
with
Target, Target's colors are red because they bleed you dry. It's
true.
A blood bank for your
although
wallet.
You can shop. Apparently, you can shop the deals and get. Apparently, Publix is pretty expensive these days.
Publix is ruthless. Target is just below that, and it's so you have to balance between Aldi and Walmart, and that's how you get by on a budget, especially with gas prices.
Are you getting meat at Aldi?
No, you do not get meat at Aldi. You get your meat at Walmart. You get everything else at Aldi.
Oof!
Don't get your meat at Aldi. Ugh. That's rough.
So anyway, duck eggs are the second most common consumed type of egg in the world and in the United States. True or false? 23 cricket eggs go into the length of a duck egg.
What was this? How big was the cricket egg?
3 millimeters, 0.1 inch.
To the length of a 30? No, there's got to be more. I'm just right off the bat gonna say false. I think duck eggs are bigger than that.
Final answer?
Yeah.
Correct answer is true. The upper end of average for a duck egg is 70 millimeters.
I misjudged what a millimeter is.
But no one knows what a millimeter no one.
No one knows what a millimeter is.
If it's smaller than an inch, if I can't look at my finger and know how big it is.
This is a thermometer cricket. And I'm not about to learn millimeters.
The imperial system was designed for peasants to understand. And we are all peasants. And we need to understand what an inch is. And I don't know what a millimeter is.
I wish I knew. I wish I knew instinctively. Metric instincts.
An inch is this. This is an inch. It's the length of one knuckle to the next.
A foot is a foot. If you have a foot-sized foot.
Yeah, it's the length of my forearm.
If you have a
foot-sized
forearm.
And if your forearm is smaller, that's what a foot is for you.
Einstein's theory of relativity at work.
Yeah, exactly. Are you ready for some fast facts before we get into the major fact?
Yeah.
They live in trees, these crickets.
They're tree crickets.
Sometimes they live in a shrub. Sometimes tall vegetation across much of the United States and parts of Canada. They're not rarely in the grass, though. You might not find them in the grass. Some crickets live in the grass. These guys, no thanks. It's trees and shrubs for us.
It's treason.
They're most
then.
Active. It's treason. So it is treason then. They are most active from midsummer through the fall. Wikipedia made a point on two different sections of this very short article to say that this is the sound that movies usually put crickets. Like if you hear crickets in a movie, it's this creature, this species.
Wow.
Cite your sources. I don't know about that one. there's no sourcing on that claim on Wikipedia.
Yeah, there is no sourcing.
But it's in two different places. Whatever. It sounds like a typical cricket, though. They primarily munch on leaves and plant matter. They may also eat some insects that are pretty small, like aphids. Both nymphs and adults of the snowy tree cricket primarily feed on leaves, and they cause very little damage to plants. They can become minor pests in orchards. Females will drill a hole into the cambium of twigs to lay their eggs, and then seal the hole with excrement or chewed plant tissue. I like the fact that they choose. They have two different building materials, and they have options.
That's what
adults also chew holes
options.
Into ripe fruit. Mm-hmm. They'll chew holes into ripe fruit, like apples and plums and peaches and cherries, which often causes the fruit to rot. But despite that damage to plants, they rarely cause significant damage to commercial orchards. Orchards that are regularly sprayed with insecticides are not usually plagued by crickets. Why the name? Can I talk about why the name temperature cricket?
Yeah.
Male snowy tree crickets produce high-pitched, rhythmic chirping sounds by rubbing their wings together, which is a process called stridulation. We talked about it with a particular ant. One of our ant episodes, they stridulate too. Because they are ectothermic, which means they're cold-blooded. Their body temperature matches the surrounding air, which directly affects how quickly their wing muscles contract. So in warmer temperatures, they are able to chirp faster, and in colder temperatures, they chirp slower. I didn't realize that about I knew that they changed with the temperature, the speed. I didn't know it was literally like their physical capabilities are less in the cold, so that's why they slow
I didn't
down.
Even know the first part that they changed with this. I thought it was just the they would it would just depended on the member of the species, the individual. Like this one just chirps faster, this one chirps slower.
No.
This one's bigger, and the faster you chirp, the more likely you are to get a mate or something like that.
Nope. Fast chirping, it's a hot summer's eve. Because they're cooking. They got warm blood and they're ready to go. So this is a reliable relationship earned them the nickname Thermometer Cricket. And there's a simple field formula that you can use to figure out what the temperature is. If you count the number of chirps in 15 seconds, add 40... the result is a close estimate to the temperature in Fahrenheit.
That's nuts.
So 30 chirps in 15 seconds plus 40, 75 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah, and so I'm thinking of the cadence of chirps that they use in TV and movies. Which seems to be about like one every three quarters of a second, like chirp, 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 chirp. That cadence.
Yeah.
But like if it's 90 degrees outside, they must be like chirp, 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 chirp. They must be going like pretty fast. Because they got to yeah. they got to get 50 well, in chirps down in 15 here in Florida, seconds.
Yeah,
that can...
yeah. There must be a cap.
Like it's only accurate up to 75 degrees.
Because the coldness slows them down because their bodies are slowing down. So they're trying to go as fast as they want to go. But is there a limit? Like, is there like a I want to go this speed, but I can't because it's too cold.
But you put them in like Death Valley or, and they just explode.
Is their goal to get as many chirps in as possible? Is that the idea?
Interview with a cricket, I suppose. I don't know. But it is crazy that you could use this formula.
Yeah, I wonder if you could spot continuity errors in movies where it's like, you can see their breath, which means at least this cold, and the crickets are chirping this fast, so that means it's at least that warm.
But that doesn't, you can't that doesn't because you up. Can see your breath if it's like 70 degrees out. It all depends on like the humidity and the
pressure.
And I don't know exactly all of it is, but sometimes I'll go outside and it's like not cold out, but I can still see my breath.
I've never seen my breath at 70 degrees.
It was just recently that you got to be out there really early in the morning though. And I always am.
I think you were just vaping.
I probably was just vaping. I didn't even realize it.
Yeah, never vaped before in my life, but it was a random Tuesday. I found myself vaping
accidentally at 4:30 in the morning. I didn't want to be awake. Yeah. I didn't want to be vaping, but I was both.
That's all I got for that. Do you have any big facts?
So I'm calling this one the Sylvan Singer. The thermometer cricket doesn't just chirp into the void; it chirps for a reason. And it chirps with purpose. It modifies its environment to boost its signal. So this is an example of a bug-ish thing. It's not a true bug. It's a bug that that uses tools. So males will chew you mentioned that they like to chew holes in things, like they're the hungry caterpillar. But they will chew a precise hole in the center of a leaf, and then they will chirp through that hole, and it'll create a natural sound amplifier. It's like a baffle. It's baffling to me.
It is baffling.
So it dramatically increases the volume relative to what it was before to a cricket, and the clarity of the cricket's call is increased as well. So louder calls mean better chances of attracting mates. And so the crickets that choose to use a baffle are the ones that are more likely to reproduce. And so there you go, natural selection. This is, and so it just lets them project farther as well and reach more potential mates. And it does not require extra energy. So it doesn't have to really like dig in there and stridulate with all its might. It can just use a tool. It can just use like a megaphone. When I was researching this, I just kept thinking of Bug's Life when he makes a megaphone out of a leaf for the princess to bark mm-hmm. orders at people. And it's like, that's pretty much this.
And he turns it into
a telescope.
Turns it into a telescope as well with a
dewdrop.
Drop.
So the cricket will position its legs strategically into the hole of the baffle. The point is to outcompete rivals nearby that are not doing this. Or are doing it with smaller leaves, because the bigger the leaf, the more sound reverberates off of it. And it's just not something that you see very often. I mean, you don't see tool usage all that often in nature in general by animals, but you definitely don't see it from bugs very often, from insects.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, I'm not loud enough. Then my neighbor over there, I'm going to bite a hole into a leaf, stick my rear end into it, and stridulate like I always do, of course, and reach a much wider audience with my marketing. You got to get the right message to the right person at the right time. And this casts a pretty wide net.
This is one of those situations, kind of like the manta ray, apparently, like, seeing itself in a mirror and recognizing it itself.
Giving itself the double guns.
Because of the mirror test. Yeah. It's like one of those things. It's like, maybe we should move the goalpost on intelligence then.
It's not that they're getting closer to us. It's that I think we're smarter than we think we are.
Yeah, or we just don't understand how to find intelligence. It's like if this is tool use, then maybe tool use isn't a mark of intelligence.
Well, I don't think it's a mark of intelligence as much as it is. Like, well, I mean, the bug's not deciding necessarily to do this. Because you can't do research into a bug's psychology on it. You can just mm-hmm. see that, like, some bugs do, some members of the species do this and have greater mating success, and others don't and have worse mating success. Mm. But
which is why anyone does anything.
That's
why the manta rays are looking in the mirror. They're checking their hair.
they're making sure their mandibles are on fleek today. Right? Yeah. Oof.
Yeah. That's been retired, I think.
It had its moment in the sun.
I think the people that said that are like out of college now.
No, the people that said that were trying to make it happen on Spotify ads for a week.
Well, when you heard it on Spotify ads, it was when it was dead. Because once you hear it in an ad, it's gone.
So then I will always be behind the curve.
Yeah, yeah. That's our lot now.
But yeah, it's bioengineering with on a budget. Just bite a hole in a leaf and sing through that. Chirp through that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, it's funny because the thermometer cricket is not the only one that does this. Tree crickets do this. So everything in the acanthus family genus does this. But I picked the thermometer cricket because it sounded the most interesting to me. I did not realize when I picked this that you could tell the temperature by counting the chirps. I was like, oh man, maybe that should have been the major fact.
It's a little bit of folk wisdom. I think everyone knows. I thought
really? I never heard this before.
You needed to like be outside with some uncle at some point, and you needed to tell some uncle of yours forgot to tell you that.
I'm going to go back to all the uncles that I've ever met and be like, you dropped the ball. Like,
what the heck?
You were supposed to pass down folk wisdom to me about these crickets. All this time I could have known what temperature it was. And
I've been looking at my phone like I've been idiot.
Just floundering in the dark.
I've been knowing the exact temperature from science.
I've been pinpointing the exact temperature a week from now like a fool.
Yeah. I should have been ballparking it with the sounds of nature.
I should have asked the cricket, is what I should have done. What am I doing asking exactly. ChatGPT? Just ask the cricket. Ask Jeeves. The cricket.
Next time, test it out. Next time you're outside and you hear some crickets, test it out. How many chirps per 15 seconds plus 40?
If it's less, I'm going to be like, chop, chop, chop. Come on, guys. Increase that frequency.
Yeah. You're sluggish. It's not quite my tempo. Are you dragging?
All right, that's all I got.
That's all I got. All
right, that was the thermometer cricket. And for you out there in Podcastia, go hug a tree. Chirp out the temperature and create a kazoo with the local flora like the thermometer cricket here in Life, Death, and Taxonomy.
Hey, Taxonomy Titans. I just want to remind you that we have a Patreon that you can find by going to ldtaxonomy.com/donate. All of our episodes are uploaded there. Sign up for free to engage with us, leave episode suggestions, or chat with other animal enthusiasts. If you find it in your heart to donate, it will help us cover some costs and continue to make the show. Plus, we'll thank you every week. Most importantly, thank you all for listening.
Life, Death, and Taxonomy is my favorite in the world podcast.
It'd be hilarious if it did sound like a kazoo. Like it sounds like a normal cricket, but then it's like